Good evening. If you would please, let's look together to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And tonight in our continuing study of the book of 1 John, we've come to the seventh verse of the second chapter. We're going to read verses 7 down to verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, we read beginning at verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And tonight we're going to set our focus especially on the seventh and eighth verses. Let's read those one more time. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for our relationship to you, that you've saved us and made us your children, we who have trusted in your Son, we, Lord, who have been granted the new birth by you and who've been made new men and women by you. We thank you for this. Lord, we ask that tonight you would help us to explain your word. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you've taught me this week, and I pray that you would help me to communicate those things clearly. And I pray that you would grant us minds that are ready and hearts that are hungry and a willingness to receive the things that we will hear tonight. Lord, help us to work as we listen, not just to be passive listeners, but to be active and Lord, to give thought to the things that we will look at and hear tonight. I pray that the result would be that your people are encouraged and built up. And I also pray for anyone with us tonight who's lost. And our desire, Lord, is that their hearts would be enlightened tonight from above and they would see their need for your Son. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses that we've just read, I think you have a great example of the continuity and the discontinuity between the Old and New Testaments. John's about to go forward in his teaching about what characterizes the people who really have fellowship with God. That's what he's talking about. If you truly have fellowship with God, then what will characterize you? There are many who say they have fellowship with God, but what characterizes the people who truly have fellowship with God? And so that's what he's been talking about. And we've been talking about our relationship to sin and our relationship to the commandments of God. Now he's going to talk about something else, but as he does this, as he takes this step forward, first he wants to say something about it. He's about to give us a commandment, but before he gives it, he wants to say something about this commandment. And what he says about it is actually very helpful to us, not only about this specific issue that we're going to deal with, but as I said a moment ago, I think it gives us an understanding of something broader, and that is the relationship between the Old and New Testaments. Let me just begin by asking you to think about this. Does the Old Testament have an important place in the Christian's life? I mean, are we a people of the New Testament only? You know, sometimes in some churches, you would get the impression that that's the case. Never teach from the Old Testament, never preach from the Old Testament, not much reading done in the Old Testament. Is that how it's supposed to be? There's no question that our understanding of the Old Testament is to be in the light of the New Testament. But having said that, does God mean for the Old Testament to influence our living? Should we read it? Should we know it? And if the answer is yes, and it is yes, then how should we read it? How should we understand it? How should we apply it? The New Testament has some answers for us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says this, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." When Paul writes that, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, those things written in former days. Speaking now as a believer in this New Testament age, he says those things were written for our instruction, and that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I want you to look over there for just a moment. We're going to come right back here, but I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse 1. Paul writes, "I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink." Now, is he talking about Old Testament events there? What's the answer? Yes. Notice what he says, "For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." And then he writes this, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction." And I love this, "on whom the end of the ages has come." We are living, he says, in the last days. And the things written down concerning the former days were written down as examples for our instruction, for the instruction of the very people upon whom the end of the ages has come. The previous things still belong to us. This answers the question, doesn't it? This settles it. The things written down beforehand were written down for our instruction even to today, for those upon whom the end of the ages has come. We're living in the last days, and the things that happened in former days were written down to instruct us in these last days. Look back, if you would please, at 1 John chapter 2. But we must never divorce the old things from the new. Those old things have in a sense, a fresh new meaning for us who are in Christ. And the reason why is because the true light is shining. This is what John writes about right here. There are three things we're going to see tonight. The first one is this. What he writes, he says in verse 7, is not something new. Look at the seventh verse. "Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." Now, John doesn't tell us what the commandment is. Do you notice that? He never says, "and this is the commandment." He doesn't say that. By the way, the word "new" there is not a word that speaks of time. It's a word that has to do with quality. So he's not talking about new in point of time. He's talking about new in terms of quality, in terms of kind, in terms of form. This word was used of something that would replace something else that had been worn out. In other words, John is saying, what I'm about to tell you is not something that you haven't heard before. This is not something that's not already on record from God. In fact, what I'm about to tell you is something that you were taught from the very beginning, from the very earliest times of your instruction in Christ. So what is it, John? What is it you're about to tell us that's not new, that they had from the beginning, the word that they've heard? What is this word that they've heard? Well, you see the answer not only in the immediate context, but you also see it if you look at another of John's letters. Go over to 2 John for just a moment, and it becomes very clear. 2 John, look at verse 4. John writes here, "I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." There it is. There's the commandment. It is the commandment to love. If you look back at our text, you'll see that that's exactly what he's talking about, because after he talks about the oldness of this commandment and the newness of this commandment, what does he say in verse 9? "Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling." What's he talking about? He's talking about love. So this is the commandment, the old commandment, that we're to love. And if you notice, what he says here not only has a connection with what he's about to write, loving your brother, it also has a connection with what he's already written. It looks back to what he's already said about walking in the commandments of God. In fact, you see that also in that passage there in 2 John. He says he rejoices that his children walk in truth. And then he says that the commandment that's both old and new is that we're to love. And then he says this is the commandment that we're to walk in, that we love each other. So all of this is connected. The idea that we love God, we love each other, and we walk in His truth, these three ideas are woven together, not only here, but also in 2 John. In fact, look over to 1 John chapter 5 for a moment, and notice what he writes in the first and second verses there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him." That is, if you really love the Father, you love all of His children. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God." And let's just stop there. If you have been born of God, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you've been born of God, and if you've been born of God, you love everybody who's been born of Him. You love your brothers and sisters. Now, let me ask you, how do you know that this is true of you? How do you know that you love the children of God? Look at his next statement. "When we love God and do what? Obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." So these things are, do you see, they're woven together. Loving God, loving each other, keeping His commandments. You can't remove any one of those and be in the right place. We're to love one another, and what does it mean to love God and to love one another? It means that we walk according to His commandments. That's how you love each other. That's how you love God. By the way, that's a radical idea for some people when it comes to what it really means to love other people. What does it mean for me to love you? What does that mean? It means that I walk in God's commandments. And if I do that, I'm going to really love you. To say it another way, if I really love you, I'm going to walk in His commandments. This is the essence of keeping all the commandments of God, to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love each other as ourselves. If we did that all the time, we would not violate a single commandment of God, because this is what it means to love, walking in the truth. Now, is this something new to John's readers? Is he giving them something that's never been given before? No, in fact, you find this not only from the earliest time of their instruction in Christ, you can go even back beyond that and find this, can't you? Where do you find this, that we're to love God, love each other, and keep His commandments? And these things are all connected. Where do you find this? You find this in the Old Testament, don't you? Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Deuteronomy 11, 1 says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His rules, and His commandments always. There it is, all three of those elements. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to love the Lord your God with all that you are. You are to love the Lord your God and keep His commandments. This is nothing new. So John says, I'm not writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. Nothing new here in one sense. But here's the second thing I want you to notice. He says in verse 8 that what he writes is something new. He says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And it's the same word for new here, by the way. There is something new here in terms of quality. There is something new in a sense in terms of form. There is something unique about what he's able to say to them. In what way is what he's going to write? In what way is it going to be something new? Well, notice he says it's new in this sense. It is true in him, which is true in him, he says. That is, Christ Jesus explains the newness of this commandment. In what way is this command to love new? It is new in Him. Jesus personified love in a new way. We just have to go back to verse 6. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. There it is. You say, what does it mean to walk in love? John is able to say to us, it means that you walk like Him. It means that you love as Christ loved. Look at how He loved the Father. Look at how He loved His disciples. We can even say this, look at how He loved the lost. I'm always amazed when people say that God has no kind of love for lost people. I'm amazed because I read when Jesus met the rich young ruler. Mark 10, 21 says, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And did the young man follow him? What did the young man do? He walked away. But Jesus had a love for him. And so if you look at how the Lord Jesus dealt with his disciples and how he dealt with the lost and how he related to the Father, now that is what it means to walk in love. And the very fact that we're able to say that, the very fact that we're able to say, look at the Lord Jesus, and the very fact that Jesus was able to say, to love each other like He loved us, that explains the newness of the commandment. It's an old commandment. It's been there from the very beginning, but now it's taken on a fresh, new expression in the personification of love. God incarnate, the Lord Jesus. In that way, it's new. We're able now to say love like Jesus loved. That could never have been said to an Old Testament saint. Only to us. In John 13, 34, Jesus characterized it as new. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Can I just stop and ask us, do we take that seriously? How are we to love each other tonight? Jesus said, if you want to know what it means to love, He said, you love each other just like I have loved you. That gives a new understanding to it, doesn't it? How did Jesus love us? That's how we're to love each other. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Wow, there it is. How did Jesus love us? He laid down his life for us. And how are we to love each other in that sacrificial way? Oh, it's expressed differently, but it's the same principle. We're to consider each other to be more important than ourselves. We're to love each other selflessly. That's love. This gets real practical, doesn't it? This is what we go home with. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. What does the rest of the verse say? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is that something brand new, the idea that a husband ought to love his wife? Do you find the truth that we're to love one another in the Old Testament? What's the answer? Yeah. Until Christ had come, could it have ever been said to anyone, now you love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Now in that sense, it's new. It's new in him. It's new in him. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Man, now we're able to understand love in a whole new way. God demonstrated his own love toward us in this. Christ died for us. There's an understanding of love that's new. But I'll tell you something interesting. Look at verse 8. Not only does he say that it's new in him, or true rather, in him, notice he also says, and in you. What does that mean? That is, there's something new, fresh, about this commandment to love when you consider the Christian church. When you consider what has happened in you, there's a newness to it. Do you realize that when you talk about the Christian church, we are the first people ever permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit? The Old Testament saints were not permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The church is. And because we have the Holy Spirit, because he lives in us, he personally represents Christ's presence in us. That is, we're able to say we have Christ in us. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, and anyone who does not have, listen to this, the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. To say you have the Holy Spirit is to say you have the Spirit of Christ. Galatians 4, 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope, the promise, the guarantee of glory. To no other people in history has it ever been able to be said, you have Christ present in your life. So walk in submission to him. Love as he loved. He's present in you. This is something new. And the Bible tells us that his love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, he teaches us to love and he energizes that love, gives us the power to love as we've been commanded to, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and what's the first thing mentioned there? Love. He goes on to say joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. But first on the list, love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. I love 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It says this, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." You realize there's a sense in which nobody has to teach you to love your brothers. Because the very fact that God has saved you, made you a new creature, that His Spirit lives in you, you are supernaturally now, naturally taught to love your brothers, your sisters. God's taught you this. 1 John 5:1, we read it earlier. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. This is new. This gives a fresh quality to it. Not only in Him is it new, but in the church it's new. Because now we have Christ in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and His love has been poured out in our hearts. And everyone who's been born of God loves the person who's been born of God. In the church, there's a new understanding of love. And this is why the examination of salvation is something more than just the examination of words. This is why when we ask whether or not we really are children of God and whether or not we've really been saved, it goes beyond words and just what someone says. If you're a believer, something real and powerful and irreversible has been done in you. And not only is it true to say that you're a new creature, it's also true to say that Christ now lives in you. And you can't have someone be made a new creature and have Christ live in them and they be no different. You can't have someone be a new creature and have Christ live in them and they have no love for God and no love for their brothers and no willingness to walk in His commandments. These three things that are always, it seems, related to one another in God's Word, these three things are found in those who've been saved. 2 Corinthians 13 puts it this way, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not, listen to this, or do you not realize this about yourselves? I love that. Don't you know what's happened to you? Don't you realize this about yourselves? Listen, what am I to realize about myself? That Jesus Christ is in you. Do you realize that about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you? And he goes on to say, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you'll find out that we've not failed the test. Christ in you. And in that sense, the commandment is new. Love like I loved you. And love now with the power that I give you to love. And where am I at? Christ would say to us tonight, I am in you. I'm in you. Now, there's a third thing I want you to notice. It's an old commandment in that it's something you find even in the Old Testament. It's a new commandment in Him, and it's true not only in Him, but in you. The third thing I want you to see is that what he writes here is something eschatologically significant. Eschatology, what does that mean? Has to do with last days, has to do with end times. And what he writes here, we need to realize it has eschatological significance. It speaks to the age we're living in. What a powerful word that word because is. Notice he says, it is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That is the reason why this commandment has new significance. The reason why John can write what he writes here, that it's true in him and true in us, is because we are the people who are living near the very end. He couldn't always write this. God couldn't always say this in his word to people. This is something new, in a sense. And the reason why it's true now in Christ who has come, and in us, the church, is because the darkness is passing away, and because the true light is already shining. It's because we're living, you see, in the last days. I go back to 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Who are we? We're the people upon whom the end of the ages has come. He says here in verse 8, the darkness is passing away. What does that mean? I think it's explained down in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Let's back up to verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father but is from the world. And what's passing away? The world. The world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. What is the darkness? The world, as we know it today, as we've known it for 6,000 years, since the fall of Adam, is in darkness. It's like a procession passing by. And at the end of this present darkness is a forever kingdom of light. And the true light is already shining. The one who will illuminate or illumine that kingdom, he's already come. The light is Christ. He's come. He's fulfilled all the Old Testament promises that he would come. He's given his life to save his people from their sins. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He's the king of this kingdom. And he's the one who's going to return quickly. And he's going to usher in the kingdom that's coming. And he's going to reign over it. And he's the one who's reigning over the spiritual form of that kingdom even right now. The true light, the light of the future age, it's already shining. Do you belong to that kingdom? Do you belong to that age? Have you been brought into the light? Does this old commandment that's also a new commandment in him and in you, does it find expression in you? What a day we live in. We're speeding toward the final darkness and the rising of a new day a lot faster than this world would ever imagine. We're living as those upon whom the end of the ages has come. And before we know it, the day not only have dawned, it'll be fully revealed. And it's because we belong to these last days that this particular commandment, he's able to say, is new. Because it's true in him and it's true in you. Do you belong to the day? And what we're going to see next Wednesday night is this: not if you don't love. You see, you don't belong to it if you don't love. Verse 9 says, whoever says he's in the light, the true light's already shining. Are you in the light? Well, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother and abides in the light, and in him, he abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And next week, we'll get into that and seek to understand that better. We should examine ourselves. We should ask whether or not we're in the faith. We should realize this about ourselves, that Christ is in us, unless indeed we fail that test. One way to know is, do you love? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace, your mercy. It's made us your children. And Father in heaven, we know that salvation has always been by your grace alone and by faith alone and in Christ. But Lord, we realize from your word that we are living in a unique time. We are those upon whom the end of the ages has come. The last days began with the coming of your Son into this world. And the darkness is passing away. And one day there will be nothing of this present world left. Instead, just a kingdom of light. We thank you that the true light is already shining. And that we're a people who've been brought into the light. We belong to the age that is to come. If indeed we're in Him, and if indeed we love, Lord, help us to examine ourselves, to be honest about what we see. Does your Son, does He really live in us? And Lord, I pray that for those who can see that He does, there'll be joy and gratefulness and thankfulness that, Lord, you've poured out your love in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we understand the newness of this commandment, that we seek to walk as He walked, and we love not perfectly, but progressively as He loved. That we'll be a grateful people. And Lord, I pray for those who in that examination discover that He's not present in them, that they would be able to see that and run to your Son for life. We ask you this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.